16 minutes to 11 o'clock. Thanks for your company this morning. As always, you can join in the conversation with us, 1300 736 736. We're going to head out west and speak to Mark Duffield, who's a guru on all things happening at West Coast, including a bit of injury carnage there and, of course, the latest on the Dreamtime in Perth. Send us a text as well for Temper, a mattress like no other. Well, it's that time of the year where it is pretty exciting because the NBA playoffs are heating up. So we thought we'd get our man on, Austin Krell from Philadelphia, as the Sixers win through to the second round, knocking off the Wizards yesterday. Austin, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It's very an honor to be on here.
Appreciate that. It's a pretty clinical performance from your Sixers yesterday and through the first round of the playoffs. Take us through it.
So, you know, Joel Embiid obviously goes down for the Sixers with the torn meniscus. They say it's a slight tear and it's day to day. So they're basically trying to force this series to get done with, shorthanded a little bit. And, you know, Ben Simmons, Australian native, steps up with a triple double, a heavily scrutinized Ben Simmons, I might say, in the city of Philadelphia and all. Throughout the country of you know that with the basketball fans that we have, so he had a heck of a series, 15 rebounds, 15 assists in the first game. He had 22, 9 and 8 in the second game, and then last night he had a masterpiece triple double. So Ben was leading the way for the Sixers as they closed out the Wizards in 5 games in Philly.
So, Austin, take us through that scrutiny. You say heavily scrutinized Ben Simmons. What is it about him that divides the Philly fans?
When you figure it out, let me know. I guess what I would say is with Ben, he's the type of player where his impact doesn't always show up in just the basic box score. Points, rebounds, assists, turnovers, whatever. And I think in the city of Philadelphia, it's a blue collar city. People who, you know, they want to see athletes give 100% every time. And Ben does, you know, give max effort, but his impact doesn't show up in the most digestible of statistical categories. He doesn't score a ton of points. He doesn't always generate a bunch of assists, although he's a great passer. He's a pretty good rebounder for a guard, has some turnover issues from time to time, but really you have to go back and, you know, rewatch things and go back and trace the way the play started to begin with, to see Ben's value. So, you know, I think people who pay close attention to Ben and his game and team, they value, what he is. He's a different type of star, but he's certainly a star nonetheless. He impacts winning in Philly. Tremendously. They've been a significantly better team ever since his rookie season than they were, you know, really ever, not just previously, but in my entire lifetime. I mean, I'm in my mid 20s now. I think this scrutiny is sort of based in the fact that his impact is not something that you can just easily see and detect just by looking at a box score.
So you mentioned Joel Embiid, who was probably the best big man in the league before he got injured and he came back from the playoffs. Torn meniscus doesn't sound great. How confident are you that he will get back?
I think that's sort of the thing. I know Philadelphia fans are very chaotic right now. It's an hour by hour thing. Sometimes they're optimistic, sometimes they're down. So it's really just sort of trying to maintain that. But I think what it all boils down to is, you know, these injuries aren't very black and white. There's a gray area almost all the time with these injuries. And with a knee, with a guy who's 7 foot and, you know, however many pounds Joel Embiid is, it's a very sensitive situation, obviously. But the normal way to react to a torn anything in a knee is to panic and assume the worst. My understanding is that this is a pretty manageable injury. By the reports and, you know, by what the team is saying. So really it's just about injury management, and if he's hurt and it's swollen or what have you, he's feeling pain, don't go as hard. Ice it a little bit more, you know, to do what's needed to manage it. But by all accounts, this is not something that should prevent him from playing and offensively end the Sixers season short of expectations.
Austin Krill joins us from Philadelphia. He's a reporter at the Painted Lions, Last Out Media, The Feed to Embiid, which has to be one of the great podcast names, and more, giving us an update on all things out of Philly and the NBA playoffs. So they're going to take on the Atlanta Hawks. Now, you would think if you go by the home and away seedings, of course it relates to how healthy Embiid is, that they shouldn't pose too much of a threat, but Trae Young is the biggest thorn in their side. How do they go about combating him?
Yeah, Trae Young is a heck of a guard for the Atlanta Hawks. He terrorized the Knicks in their first round series. I think what it comes down to is he's a guy that likes to get the ball on the floor, make plays. He's also a very capable shooter. But I think really it's about keeping him away from the middle of the floor in the painted area and just making him sort of uncomfortable, giving him different looks defensively and not letting him get too adjusted to what they're doing. And I mean, for a point guard, especially one that reads defenses as well as Trae Young does, you want to react and adjust to keep him on his toes as much as possible, because if you do too much of the same thing, he'll sniff it out too fast. So just keeping him uncomfortable. Good.
He was public enemy number one in this New York series. Like he was the one that everyone loved to hate. He was the villain, so to speak. It was great to watch. I know there's a lot of talk about crowd behavior and fans overstepping the mark on two or three instances, but how do you think the Philly fans, I'm assuming they're back in the stadium, will greet him?
To a smattering of boos is what I would say. That's for sure. They're a very rowdy bunch, very passionate bunch. Sometimes they're a little bit too rowdy, but I think, you know, generally speaking, you're going to find some bad seeds in every fan base, and not just in America, but across all sports. There's alcohol at these events, and it's maybe not, it's certainly preventable, but I think the law of averages says there's probably going to be at least one bad seed at these events.
Before we let you go, can they win it all? Or I guess that is relying on the health of their big man.
Yeah, I mean, I think the consensus is that they're a very strong contender, but, you know, you have two top dogs in the East with the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you have the Brooklyn Nets who have, you know, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. So those two teams are going to duke it out in their own second-round series, and then the winner takes on, you know, likely Philly if they can pull out their series. So the way I look at it is, I think I'd pick the winner of the Eastern Conference to win the entire thing. So if Philly can get past them and Embiid's healthy, I would think Philly has a good chance.
And before we let you go, Anthony Davis is back for the Lakers today. Their game gets underway. Last opportunity against Phoenix, losing, they're gone. Is it all coming to an end for LeBron?
Isn't that the question? I learned once or twice in my life to not bet against LeBron James. Yeah. I'm going to say tonight the Lakers win.
We'll wait and see. That would be fascinating. Hey, mate, love your work. The Feed to Embiid. I got to download this podcast. I love the name. It's caught me. I appreciate the update, mate, and good luck to your guys from Philly.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
It's a fascinating insight into the scrutiny that some athletes are under. Like,